Hey everybody, welcome back to Check the Gate, a Film Lovers Deep Dive. I'm Bert, and as always, I'm joined here with Brandon.
Hello.
And Michael.
Yo.
And today we are doing our third film in the Adam Sandler grab bag that Michael has decreed upon us, the 2004 film 51st Dates, about Henry Roth is a man afraid of commitment until he meets the beautiful Lucy. They hit it off, and Henry thinks he's finally found the girl of his dreams until discovering she has short-term memory loss and forgets him the next day. Michael, we are finishing you off with your second and last of the Adam Sandler film. Why this film?
Another one that I've watched.
Another
one I've watched a bunch of times. Yeah, I love it. I don't know. But also, love Rob Schneider in this one, too.
Yeah.
Let's not forget about Adam Sandler. You know, it does good in that as well. But this is by far one of my favorite Rob Schneider characters. The one that I quote every day to my wife, and she rolls her eyes every time. I go, Wadaliku, get your brother out of dishwasher.
Yeah, he was great.
So now, good.
This, believe it or not, this is my good eye.
He's my good eye.
You like? What about you, Brandon? You vibing?
Yeah, I did vibe with it. This was maybe my second time seeing this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. It was funny. Oh. Rob Schneider killed it. made me lol.
What about Dan Aykroyd? And Sean Astin.
Dan Aykroyd was good.
I could have taken him, Daddy, but the gravel was too slippery.
He's like, yeah, sure.
He's the largest mammal. Largest hung mammal.
I have the first. That's my joke.
Shut up.
I think I'm turning heel, guys. Hit the music. I don't like this movie.
I wish I did.
It's one of those where I wish, like, everyone I talked to was like, top two Adam Sandler movie I've ever seen, 51st Dates. And I keep just being like, what is the disconnect? And I think it's because watching this last time, watched it twice, went in open mind. When Michael chose it, in my brain I went, okay.
You're like, I can do this. Mind.
We're new. Hey, new era of Bert. The Interstellar raw. Wah. Yeah. Just because you didn't like something 10 years ago doesn't mean you don't like it now. I went in and watched it, and I was just like, there's something is off. Watched it again yesterday, gave it the 2-time rule, even though I have seen it. And I'm like, I think it's Drew Barrymore. There are times where it feels like she is reading a script that somebody is holding behind Adam Sandler's head.
Yeah.
There are a lot of line deliveries where she's like, you are my boyfriend, aren't you? But like...
like she's reading the cue, turn head and look. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Turn,
like,
head.
I will agree with you on that. She's
fine,
not
camera
the best
three.
In this one.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait, one, two, three. Ah, there we go.
Oh, there it is.
I mean, like, there are some, like, nitpicky things that I'll bring up, but, like, that never goes into my tally of why a movie connects with me or not. I really do just, I don't know, like, to quote Brandon on the AFI list, I just don't buy it.
Yeah.
And for the sake of this episode, I was like, I'm gonna go in, I'm gonna get blown away. There are funny parts in it. It deserves its flowers. But I think the overarching part, like, is like, for whatever reason, it's the Drew Barrymore of it all. And I don't know who that person should have been. I know this is their second of three movies they did together. It's the first movie, by the way, they did together. The only, I should say, that hit the box office number one and crossed over $100 million. Of, you know, Wedding Singer and then Blended, which Blended is a worse movie than this.
Yes.
But that's, I don't know. And a lot of times, one of us says something, and then we go through the episode, and then we still have fun doing it, and I'm anticipating that happening. Like I said, there's a lot of good stuff in here.
Well, that's why we're here, right? To have fun, right?
Yes. And I'm not here. Michael, you picked it, and I don't want to be like, man, fuck this movie, because that's not true. Honestly, I'm 50-50 on one of the movies that I chose that we're going to do in a couple weeks. I'm like, I remember liking it, but I also know it gets a lot of hate. So I'm interested going in. Maybe my attitude changes about Funny People is the movie I'm talking about. But
yeah,
I don't know.
I get that. For me, though, her acting, I think I get that, but I thought it was part of like the amnesia, like brain injury bit.
It just seems unsustainable, especially the love aspect of it, where it's like, I got to convince you every day. What if you wake up one day and you're like, actually, not my vibe?
I'm like,
and there really are times where she straight up just does deny him at the diner. So it's just like,
so we know it's possible.
You know, we see over time, you know, obviously the ending, you know, where she like dreams about him every night, even though her brain resets. But I guess that's to say that there's a little progress going in there.
That's what I thought, too. Because like, towards the end of the movie, I'm like, you know, no spoilers, but like she just seemed really together with the whole thing. And I'd be like, if I wake up on a fucking boat in the Arctic.
Yeah. Oh, you chloroform me.
Where the fuck do
I'm going to be freaking out. And then
then
you're like, hey,
it'll be better.
Go say hi to mommy. Wait, when did I have a child?
What did you do to me? You
know, imagine the day she wakes up and it's the day she's having the child. That's where my brain goes.
Yeah.
Or does
what
like
the fuck?
Or did Adam Sandler have to like update the movie? Every
there's a
day.
Volume 2.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the movie every morning. Yeah,
Volume 2. I think it was on VHS, so you got to be on like Volume 7 or 8 now.
Yeah, I think from what I'm led to believe is that there is the video, and I'm sure every few years it gets updated. But she also is reading from her journal that every morning it says.
Oh,
Oh, right.
So she's filling in the blanks for herself. The Good video point. Is just more of major life events of the Red Sox not winning, but in reality won like what, 2 years later?
Yeah, that bit hurt me. Aaron Boone.
I thought about you. I even wrote down, I was just like, oh, damn.
Fucking Aaron Boone.
The Yankees moved yacht on that one, dude. And it's obviously har-hardy-har-har. You know, she was in a movie like a year later.
Yeah, Fever
about
Pitch.
The Red Sox winning.
Yeah.
But my brain watching this movie, I'm like, so for the last year, she's eaten syrup and waffles every day. She's not a diabetic?
Yeah. Yeah, only no had kidding. Flour and sugar? Okay.
Spam and eggs every day?
Yeah.
With the peanut butter cups.
You want the peanut butter cups? On the eggs?
You mean mix it in with the eggs?
Gross.
Hey, Mr. Peanut Butter Cup. Hey, Mr. Kill Me in One Punch.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's hop into this sucker. I'm excited, even though you may not think it. I really am. Like I said, it's a 2004 film. Top three films of 2004. Number three, Spider-Man 2. Number two, Harry Potter and the...
Oh, what's the one that I actually
Friendly Ghost.
Get? Yeah, Half Blood Prince.
No, Prisoner of
Prisoner
Azkaban.
Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh, I went.
And number one, Shrek 2.
Shit,
Body. I believe this was the Garden State year. If you're keeping track at home,
I was gonna say these movies sound familiar.
Ticket costs $6.21, which is equivalent to $10.54 our money. The budget for the film, $75 million.
Damn.
I don't know how much of that is filming on location.
Yeah.
And how much is Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore? Which is equivalent to $127.2 million. The box office was $198.5 million, which is equivalent to $336.7 million. And this film was nominated for 0 Academy Awards. We're going to come across one. I can feel it. That's not foreshadowing. I haven't looked ahead. But I can feel it.
It's a matter of time.
I don't think it's on our list.
No, in the next three films, we're not going to hit a...
I don't think so. Not the Sandman.
Eminem didn't get a supporting actor nod for Funny People? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Spanglish, I think, was the only one that was nominated.
For what?
For
foreign film?
No. I might have to look that up, but I think it was nominated, and then I think Uncut Gems.
Famously not.
Oh, yeah.
Unless it was a screenplay. Everyone assumed he was going to get an actor nom, but he didn't. Remember, he was wearing suits for like a year, and then when he didn't get a nomination, he said, now I don't have to wear suits ever again.
So then he wore basketball shorts.
He went back to his hoodie and basketball shorts. He said, all right! We start the film with a bunch of different women telling different friends, discussing their vacation, their tropical Hawaii vacation, about how they all had amazing flings we all know it's the same guy, but you know, he was just so mysterious. You know, he took me rock climbing, snorkeling, hiking, you know, all these other things. But then at the end, you know, he kind of let them down in different ways. Oh, he was married. Oh, he was gay. You know, that one lady, that one older fat lady was just like, you know, we got real drunk. And then he's like, and then he just ran away. he didn't believe in phones, so he didn't want to give us his phone number. But regardless, it was a fun fling, and I'll never forget Henry Roth. And then the other lady's like, Harry Paratesticles.
Yeah, that was funny.
Harry Paratesticles.
And then we get a Kevin James cameo. Henry Roth. Cut to him immediately dumping a girl at the dock, waiting for her seaplane to take her to the airport. And she's like, why didn't you tell me I was in the CIA? And he goes, that's a 187 code blue. We got a wolf sleep at night. He's slipping his right arm in the drawer. And out comes the cookie jar. All right, all clear here. Walla walla bing bang. he calls her by the wrong name. He's like, that's what I said, Jenna. And he goes, it's Jan. And he goes, I changed your name to protect you.
Protect your identity.
To which, you know, he gets the real perfect timing, great escape, as he jumps onto a passerby on a jet ski. Lands right on.
I'll give you $20 if you just keep going.
All right, sounds good. How's your balls?
Yeah.
They're killing me. In reality, Adam Sandler is a veterinarian for a aquarium a la Hawaii version of SeaWorld kind of thing, where it's called like Sea Life Aquarium, right?
Sea Life Park.
Yeah, there you go. He's sewing up his friend Rob Schneider, who's playing a Hawaiian local who has like six kids that are all filming him.
Yeah.
His wife is sewing, huge. He hates his life. He has five kids that are living surprisingly talented, athletically talented.
Yeah. They're all like within a year apart from each other.
He's the best character in this movie.
I agree.
He's sewing him up because he got attacked by a shark while surfing.
Oh.
to which, you know, he's like, they only attack you if you touch their private parts. To which immediately my brain goes, sounds like you were touching shark's private parts.
Yeah.
Shark bit you.
Yeah. Seriously. Another one of my favorite ones. Just he looks at the camera. Sharks, they only bite if you touch the private parts.
To which, you know, he asked him, you know, how did you left off the last tourist, you know? Did you give her the Waikiki sneaky between the cheeky? Like, yeah, you know, dropped her off at the dock, you know, that kind of thing. He's like, you know, I got to stay away from... He's letting us, the audience, know, I'm staying away from locals. I can't be tied down. So it's really nice that I just hook up with tourists because they're here for a week and then they're gone and I never see them again. Which Rob Schneider says, yeah, you don't want to get tied down with somebody. And the next thing you know, the sex is bad and you're married to some old and ugly fat woman. And then he looks over and sees the kids. One of them is like video blogging the entire... I was just kidding. About which part? The old or the fat and ugly part?
Which part? The old part or the fat part?
Another employee, Alexa, runs in real quick. Grab Sandler because Jocko the giant ass walrus is sick, and as Adam Sandler is a veterinarian, he rushes onto the scene, lets her know, you know, we need to get a fish. You know, she goes into the bucket, pulls a fish out, and he goes, no, it's too warm. You need one at the bottom of the bucket. Obviously, she goes diving headfirst into a giant bucket full of sardines, yanks one out. She's freaking out. He slaps her in the face with the fish. He's like, I'm sorry I did that, but you got to calm down. All right, I'm gonna press on the belly, and I need you next to the mouth. We need to make sure he's breathing, or we don't want to get a tracheotomy in front of all these people. You don't want that. You don't want that. You know, to which he pushes down on the stomach, and Jocko opens his mouth and vomits about 10 gallons worth of sludge all over Alexa.
He's like, easy, this is why I get into this business. To save sea animals.
Yeah. Hey, why don't you go wash up and use the turpentine, get rid of the smell.
Use the turpentine.
She goes around the corner, and that's when he's like, ah! Apparently, Adam Sandler in this movie is Aquaman, can fully communicate with all forms of sea life in this movie, whether it be dolphins, walruses, penguins. I thought you were going to burp, buddy, but the vomit, that was the cherry on top. That slips into, like, straight-up Billy Madison Adam Sandler. That's what you get for eating my roast beef sandwich. Like, he even does, like, the little dance.
Dance. Yeah, the dance was...
Yeah.
I recognize that.
You know, gives the walrus a big old high five. We cut to Adam Sandler on his junk of a boat, the sea serpent, to which he's trying to get seaworthy because he's going to take it from Hawaii to Alaska to study walrus life. You know, he's a veterinarian. This is his life. And he knows if he goes around the island one time, it is seaworthy to cross an entire fucking ocean.
Yeah. It's like saying, oh, my car makes around the block, I can make it cross country, you know?
Yeah. Sounds about right. It'll work.
I noted that the boat looks like a piece of shit. When I watched it, I didn't notice it the first time, but I watched it the second time. I was like, damn, that boat looks bad. While sailing around the island, the mast breaks. Everything goes to shit while he's doing like a captain's log. You know, if I can survive. And he's like, ah, no! And like the sail breaks apart. The wheel falls off.
Yeah.
We see him taking his little ski-doo. Not ski-doo, but like a little inflatable raft across.
His little dinghy.
Yeah, there we go. Dinghy. I listen to Ailstorm. I should know these things. he's got to have the Coast Guard give him a tow. So he pulls in to the Hukilau Cafe for coffee, only for the waitress, Sue, to say, I'm going to get you some Span and Eggs.
What you have for breakfast? Reese's Peanut Butter Cup and a Gatorade.
I know Spam is a Hawaii thing, but the amount of times they refer to Spam... show you Spam. I was like, man, Big Spam has their fingerprints all over this movie.
Yeah.
Big Spam. Deep Spam.
All I had for breakfast was a cup of coffee. What is he like?
Reese's peanut butter cup and a Gatorade.
Yeah. He's like, okay, I'm going to get you some Spam and Eggs. In walks this massive Samoan guy, which he lovingly refers to him as Tattoo Face. Says, hey, you like the peanut butter cups? I could put the peanut butter cups into eggs for you. go nuts, man. As he's sitting there, he gets a glare in his eye, and he looks over, and from across the diner, he can see Drew Barrymore reading a newspaper and creating a teepee out of her waffles, pouring the coffee, possibly syrup. What's up? You look confused.
I was trying to think, was it a teepee at that first one, or was it a castle?
Yeah. I was trying to figure out which one with the...
She pours the hot, it's either hot syrup or coffee into it.
Yeah.
My brain says syrup because I feel like coffee would just go everywhere, where syrup holds a bit of a consistency. To which he sees her, we know he's kind of like, he's got the, she's attractive, but she's got local written all over her, which he... you know, confides in Alexa the next day that he's very smitten by her, but she's clearly a local, and I can't do that. And then Alexa gives him a proposition. How about I strip naked and I go to your office and next move is yours? to which he lovingly says he doesn't like guys. we cut to the next day. And he returns to the cafe to see if Drew Barrymore is there, and she is. he sees her making another cabin out of the waffles. She's fumbling with a makeshift door, but the door keeps falling out. Brilliant idea. I'm a Casanova. We get you a toothpick. Hey, why didn't she just try this? Sticks the toothpick down. That way it's a door. To which, you know, she's clearly excited. She's taken by him. She likes it. Offers, hey, you're eating by yourself. Why don't you come sit with me and eat with me? You know, she mentions that he smells like fish, and he gets embarrassed. He's like, oh, shit, I work with fish. I thought I washed it off, but it's my... She lets him know, no, I actually like it. My father and brother are fishermen. Sometimes they go off at months at a time, and when they come back, you know, I just take... I hug them 5 minutes apiece, and I just soak in that fish smell, to which, you know, he allows her, and my fingers are available to sniff at any time. So she takes a hit of his fingers. Just like a mama used to make.
Gross.
We get kind of a little time warp thing where we can see as the audience that time has now passed. They're still talking, having a grand old time. The waitress, Sue, is not having it. You know, she kind of abruptly lets them know, hey, breakfast is over. We're getting ready for lunch. So you need to get out of here. Sorry, Sue, we'll be on our way. They go outside. They kind of say their goodbyes, and that's when she says, I really enjoyed myself. Would you like to have breakfast again with me tomorrow? To which he's like, oh, I have a plan. Yeah, I'll be there. She asks for one more hit of his fingers for the road. He does it, and they do the whole see you tomorrow kind of thing. They're parked separately. There's a van in between them, and they're super excited. Ooh, I had a love connection, so they're doing a little jig and dance, only for the van to pull away. Very rom-com-esque to see them both dancing. It's like, ah, shit. He's embarrassed, gets in the car. There was a bee. We see Rob Schneider and Adam Sandler and all his kids playing golf. Beautiful golf course. Would never do it, but beautiful golf course right on cliffs. Kind of dangerous, but Rob Schneider tells him he's got another tourist lined up for him to give the Waikiki sneaky between the cheeky, to which he's like, I can't. I think I'm just going to stay in. I'm all good. Like he does that terrible swing. Like, yeah. He's just doing the Happy Gilmore swing.
Right.
And he's like, that's the worst swing I've ever seen. No. There's a massive reference to another film in this movie, by the way. That's not an Adam Sandler movie. But we will get to that. To which, you know, he shanks that ball. To which he has the, oh, you think you could do it? Go ahead and do it. And the kids all tee up the exact same time. All five balls land right on the green. You kids suck. You're good at everything. Adam Sandler tees off, hits his ball, whew, goes right off the cliff. It's golf, so you got to find your own ball. I'd have taken a mulligan, but whatever.
Yeah, first, yeah, that ball's gone.
He goes down the cliff looking for his ball, and that's when he happens upon Drew Barrymore's Lucy, now in a black flowy dress. Lets him know that she's going to be there for him forever and ever. Tomorrow and the next day,
and the next day.
And then she tackles him, starts kissing him, to which he kind of snaps too. He's on the ground of the green. They're like, what's going on, bro? Who's Lucy?
Who's Lucy? Yeah, what's up with your nipples?
What happened? He's like, oh, no, man, you shanked the ball. It bounced off the golf cart and hit you square in the head.
It was freaking hilarious.
Sandler's like, okay, I got it bad for this girl. I need to stay away from locals. Stick to the plan. Tourists only. Okay, Schneider, I'm in. I'll go out with a tourist. Cut to him at the, like, a bar. The tourist, super horned up, ready to go.
DTF. Those fish bowls.
Yeah. She says she has an idea for what to do tonight, and then she slurps down an entire fish bowl.
I think I'm getting a little bit drunk.
He's like, actually, you're not. I'm not either. Adam Sandler confesses that, you know, he's not feeling it. And, like, he's done this ploy before. He's like, you're not drinking a non-alcoholic drink. I do this because I know you're going to be down and I want to have vigorous sex with you without you passing out. To which he's just like, But and then she's like, well, what if we just forget that you said that and we have sex anyway? And he goes, I think I'm good. And she's like, well, it's my last night. Is there anybody else that is DTF? And she's like, that guy over there. Points over and we see Alexa.
I think that's a woman.
I think that's a woman. She's like,
well, you're too drunk to remember, remember? Mm? The next day at the cafe, it's raining. Adam Sandler shows up, getting ready for his breakfast date with Lucy. Sue, the waitress, tries to stop him. You need to get out of here. You need to stay as far away from Lucy as possible. Only for Lucy to come in. Adam Sandler goes to her and says, my fingers are extra fishy for you today. I've been petting my walrus all day thinking about you. To which she goes, I don't fucking know you. Who are you? Gross. What's going on?
Gross.
Perv. Sue grabs him, takes him outside, and drops the bombshell on him that 1 year ago, on her father's birthday, a wild cow broke through a fence. There was a car crash, and now she has brain damage where she can't make new memories. She remembers everything up until that day. Not even that day, the morning before. The night before, I guess. So her entire life, she remembers fine, but every day is October 30th to her, October 13th to her, which is her dad's birthday. And he's like, that sounds like some of the crazy shit that I would say to make a girl stop falling.
Yeah.
Hate to say it, but it's true. She does the same thing every day. Now we get a look into Lucy's life. She gets up, grabs a printed out paper. She comes home. Her dad says, oh, I already got the pineapple that they normally go to get. She's a little upset, but she understands because the cute girl at the market gave him the pineapple. I think she likes you. We meet Sean Astin, her brother Doug, who is a roided up.
He's pretty good, too.
I love his lisp. Wear mesh I love they're both shirts. Their lisp, but yeah.
I just love him flexing every time.
Dad says, I have a present for you, even though it's my birthday. I just painted my work shed. It's all white, but it's too white. It's Farmer Fran from Waterboy.
Yeah.
Now I would love it if you could paint me something for my birthday. She's like, that's a great idea. I'll do that. You guys go watch the Vikings game. To which he goes in, grabs an old VHS. go Vikings.
Go Vikings.
Can you imagine, you got to watch the same football game over and over again every day?
That's what I'm saying. All this is unsustainable, you know? Like,
for sure.
And what day you're just like, all right, let's sit down and talk about this, okay?
Like, why would you every night repaint?
Well, she does
room white.
Oh, you're talking.
Yeah.
Like that's not healthy for anybody.
You gotta stock up on pineapples and paint.
You telling me that eating pineapple upside down cake every day for your birthday is not a good thing?
I mean, that'd be cool. But
it would be cool, but
until the doctor's like, yo, dog, what are you eating? Like, pineapple upside
pineapple
down
upside
cake.
Down cake.
And I waffles and a shit ton of syrup.
Yeah. All right, well, you're gonna die.
Yeah. Diabetes.
She gets her dad a VHS tape. Ah, The Sixth Sense. Which, by the way, the movie came out in 1999.
It was crazy to see it on VHS.
I was like, the fact that she's watching it and is surprised by the ending, I was like, this movie was 5 years old, man. This movie was hot goss.
Yeah.
They're falling asleep. And then, can you believe he was dead at the end? No, nope, didn't see it coming. Oh, what a surprise. What a surprise. Anyway, you guys are just unscarable, I guess.
I like how the scene before when they're watching it's the same scene, but they're watching the football game, and he's like, hey, I bet, you know, he makes his plays. Like, I bet he does. And then listed exactly.
He's like,
when he calls the play.
I bet Culpepper's going to run him in for a touchdown. I was like, I think he's going to fade it away and throw it in for a touchdown. I was like, you're on. Like, yeah, Doug, you're good. You should be a coach.
You should be a coach.
Yeah,
Dad
Doug.
Dad throws a slipper at him.
Yeah.
She goes to bed, and we see all the work that her dad and Doug do at the end of the night. They start completely over. They grab a new paper out of the stockhold of newspapers that they have printed. Doug goes and unlocks the freezer that's full of pineapples. The dad rewraps the Sixth Sense back into the present. Doug refills shower stuff, and then they paint over before taking a picture. They paint over the work shed white to start all over again. We get Adam Sandler and Rob Schneider on his boat while he's repairing it. He's putting like a new wheel on, and it's just a bike tire.
Did she paint? Does she paint the same thing?
No, they allude to that.
No, I imagine that's why they take different pictures.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I was thinking about that when we were just saying it. I'm like, yeah, and they took pictures of it. But who do they take the pictures for?
Her? You know, we never. Maybe they show her.
But no spoilers. But I guess it's spoilers. But in one part, he's like, yeah, what have you been doing? Her paintings have been changing, blah blah blah. And that's when it's like, you know.
And then even at the end, when she's painting him, because she dreams about him, it's not the same painting every time.
Yeah,
I have a question about the egg one, because I was just like,
I have a question about that whole scene. Who in real life drew all those pictures of Adam Sandler?
I don't know.
Internet would probably tell you.
Yeah, it's a lot of pictures of Adam Sandler.
Yeah,
gotta giggle.
Just like they held like a competition, like give us your best fan art.
Yeah.
Something I thought about.
There.
Adam Sandler's letting him know, he's like, I can't do anything. I really like her, but you know, he goes like, you should go for it, bro. And he's like, she's brain damaged. He's like, I'll give you that one, brother. He falls through the boat and he's like, I think my stitch reopened.
Do you have a cat?
There's something licking me. Still smitten by her, he decides to go back to the cafe, only for Tattoo Face to get. He's like, hey, you know what the rules? What's to say? You can't come near. And he goes, I'll bet you $20 I can get her to talk to me again. He goes, you're on, brother. He does the same method. She's doing the same waffle cabin. He goes, too easy. Grabs the toothpick, sticks it in there, lays the same line on. There you go. It's like a hinge that, you know. And then she hits him with the, are you from a country where it's okay to stick your fingers in other people's food?
He's like, oh, okay.
I'll leave. And that's when we get the... Tattoo Face making fun of him. We get kind of like a little mini montage where he's, you know, doing different plans. He's like, okay, I'll come in the next day, you know, double or nothing. He makes a drawing. He's like, hey, you seem like somebody who is interested in art. Here is a drawing I drew. This is a duck with fish and a dad and a brother fishing. To which she then pretends like she, not only does she not speak English, she's speaking Mandarin.
Yeah.
He's just like, all right, don't speak English. Goes and sits down and he goes, you don't look Chinese. But
he's like, 40. Because they bet another $20 on it.
Then, you know, we come back, same thing again, where now he's pretending like he can't read. He's throwing a huge fit. She comes over and she's like, what's wrong? He's like, I can't read.
Oh, I love this scene.
You know, let me help you. I can do it. Thank you for your assistance. I would like one. She's like, okay. Sue goes, pancake?
He's like, pancakes. Okay, I have pancakes. So she's helping pancakes. The other dude figure out what he wants.
Thank you. She goes, invites him to sit at the booth with her. And then we get the scene, it's like, oh, okay, so the I before E except after C. That's right. And C's that little half squiggly one, right? I think I get it. Cut to them leaving, you know, he walks her to her car, closes the door, and he goes, all right, have a good one. To which she gets mad, and he's like, what's going on? And she's like, you did that whole I can't read scam. Like, his face goes, oh, shit.
I can't read.
I can't read. And she goes, oh, please, you know, thanks for the ego boost. You're not even going to ask me for my phone number or anything? I figured if this guy wanted to talk to me this bad, you know, but thanks for the ego boost, and drives away. He gets frustrated, and he's like, I'm going to drive after her. To which Sue calls Dad and says, we got a code red.
Stage 5clinger.
Yes. He shows up at the dad's house. He confronts him about it, and we see Doug. He's like, this the guy? This the guy? He charges him. Adam Jones just kind of moves out of the way. He slips and falls, flips. Sandler just grabs him by his legs and steps on his hands.
Yeah. I'm calm.
The dad says he wants him nowhere near her because you know about her condition, but you're still doing this, which means you're taking advantage of her. And I don't want you anywhere near her at the cafe ever again. Do you hear that? And he goes, okay, I understand. You know, he leaves, and then Doug gets up. He's like, sorry, Dad, I could have got him, but the gravel is too slippery. Oh, yeah, you could. Okay.
We could do some more butt flexes.
Yeah, that was freaking hilarious.
We now get a montage of him thinking outside the box. I can't see her at the cafe anymore, but I'll see her on the road, either coming or going to the cafe every day. You know, faking a dead battery. You know, he jumps her. You know, he hooks up the battery. Pretends like he's getting electrocuted. She freaks out. She's like, I can't believe you fell for that. And she goes, my grandfather died trying to jump a car battery. He's just like, oh. Which, by the way, her jumper cables are in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that. So I'm like, is that kind of Jeep, like, is the engine, like, somehow below their feet or something?
Maybe she's just prone to her battery dying. Or there's a lot of people camping around on the road trying to get her to pull over.
He fakes being a construction worker in the rain. He's like, hey, where are you coming from? She's like, breakfast. He goes, yeah, what'd you have? Waffles. He's like, I like to make houses out of waffles.
Weird.
And then
too.
He just, like, stands up and, like, doesn't talk to her anymore. You know, he brings out the penguin to have her pull over, only for her to drop a CD. I said to my wife, I go, Cassie, does she drop the CD every day?
Yeah.
She's like, no, I don't think so. So she doesn't see the penguin in the road, just goes right over the penguin, almost runs him over. He has Rob Schneider pretend to jump him on the side of the road, only for her to come out with a baseball bat.
He's like, ow, not so hard.
He's fine. He learned his lesson. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Finally, we see him tied up on the back of his truck.
One of my favorite ones.
Oh, it's not her. False alarm. Pulls out the newspaper. He's like, no, it's okay. As the car stops next to him, he's like, no, it's okay. Cops were already called. Everything's handled. Only for him to look up and see that it's her dad and Doug. And he says, hey, when you're done trying to free... when you're done stalking my daughter, why don't you go ahead and come by the house? Okay, all right. Gets a little nervous. We see him stop by the house. To which the dad drops the knowledge that Barrymore's starting to sing again, and not just sing that specific Beach Boys song that was her dad's and her mom's special song. And she's only singing on days where she meets Adam Sandler. To which I guess he's kind of giving him the pass of, like,
you're good.
Something up there is registering with her, so you're bringing happiness to my daughter's life. So I am now, I guess, fine with you. You know, I guess now you can see her at the cafe, because the next day he goes to the cafe for the first time, which is where he walks up to her and says, hey, you know, he tries to hit on her, to which she says, oh, no, I'm waiting for my boyfriend. And he goes, oh, you're making up a fake boyfriend to try to get rid of me kind of thing, to which she freaks out because she sees a cop out there giving her a ticket for expired plates. She doesn't understand because she still has 6 months of registration on those plates. She even grabs a newspaper to show the cop, sees the date, and goes into a crazy spiral. Checks every single newspaper. Not the right date. Not the right date. Not the right date. Not the right date. She hurries home. He follows after her. She comes home and we hear, you know, Doug, we gotta have a bad day. You know, to which they have an entire process for that. You know, shows her the cabinet with all the newspapers.
Makes you wonder how many times that's happened, like, when she, like, freaks out that they
or
have
how often,
a, like,
you know,
contingency plan in case it happens.
Probably some trial and error in there, too.
Yeah, for sure.
But he gives her a photo album. This is from the accident. You were in the hospital for 3 months. She says she wants to speak to the brain doctor, and Dad says, you've done it so many times. You've already talked to him. It's the same thing every time. To which Sandler says, I'll take her because I want to hear it from myself too. So we have a family road trip off to the Callahan Brain Institute, where we meet Dr. Dan Aykroyd. Drops the knowledge that she is, in fact, you know, accident to your temporal lobe. Letting us know is like, but unfortunately this is likely permanent. As they're going through, he's like, hey, it could be a whole lot worse. Let me introduce you to 10 Second Tom. On the way to meet 10 Second Tom, He lets us know that the Callahan Institute is funded out of Sandusky, Ohio by T.B. Callahan, the automotive components tycoon, which is Tommy Boy.
Interesting.
And also Dan Aykroyd is in Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
As the rival automotive brakes guy. Little crossover. This is in the same universe. Holy shnikes, guys.
Yeah, wow. No kidding.
We meet 10-second Tom. Also, I should say, Doug is trying to ask the doctor. He's like, I have a friend. You know, he's been having a lot of wet dreams lately. And he's like, for the last time, get off the juice. And also...
wet dreams.
Get yourself a real t-shirt, get off the juice, and as for the nocturnal admissions, I don't know. We go meet 10-second Tom, who he's like, Tom was in a hunting accident and it can now only remember 10 seconds. And he goes, what happened? Am I okay? And he's like, don't worry, you're gonna forget in 3 seconds. And he goes, what was, like, shot in the head? Hey, hi, I'm Tom. Just introduces himself to everybody. Adamson's like, hey, Tom, got a secret for you. Whispers in his ears. And he goes, hey, aren't you, points at Doug, and aren't you a little old for wet dreams? Everybody in the Institute laughs. They thought it was funny. They leave the hospital. Drew Barrymore's feeling a little better about herself, but we all know it's only for a mere hours. She thinks that what Sandler's been doing is a little sweet. Her dad drops the knowledge that they're actually, hey, you're kind of dating him. She lets him know, he's like, hey, I don't want you to strike out tomorrow, so mention Lily's, you know. Back at the house, the dad says, let's have a couple beers and talk this over, to which Adam Sandler's really bugging out. You know, he's just like, I don't understand why we're just tricking her. He's like, half the problem with today was that she just found out her entire life was a lie.
Yeah. Like,
instead of just being upfront and honest with her, why can't we just do that? You know, it's like...
seems like a much better option.
Yeah. He kind of leaves, ponders to himself, but that next day, as Drew Barrymore's leaving to go to the cafe, Adam Sandler's there. You know, special delivery from a secret admirer. He's got a bouquet of lilies. The dad's like, who's your friend there, Luce? He's like, I don't know, I just met him, but he brought me a VHS tape. She goes in to watch it. The dad's like, what's the big idea? And he says, hey, if this doesn't work, we only lost a day. She puts in the VHS tape, and it's catching up her up to date on all the current events. I asterisked that the Red Sox did actually finally win, even up to the car accident. And then we get a reenactment of how Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore met, all of Rob Schneider dressed up as Drew Barrymore with coconut boobs and a fake wig. Rob Schneider's like, hey, Lucy, sorry about your brain. You know, I was in an accident too. Believe it or not, this is my good eye.
This is my good eye.
I wrote down, I was like, Sandler can edit an entire video, but he can't edit Schneider being a horn dog out of the videotape.
Yeah, literally.
No, we gotta leave that.
You know, hey, we got some friends that want to say hi and that they love you too, Lucy. You know, Sue lets her know. She's like, you know, I know you know that I was your mom's friend. We love you, and that this guy making the tape, he's the real deal. He's a good guy. We get Tattoo Face being like, hey, Lucy, while you were out, I was made governor of Hawaii. Yeah. They pan out. He's taking the treasure.
Just kidding.
I'm too smart. She's out on the dock. Sandler says, okay, she's been crying for about an hour, you know, and in about another hour, she's going to be out wanting to hang out with friends and get her life going together, to which she kind of does. She goes to the site of the accident, mentions that she wishes she could have met Adam Sandler the day before the accident so she could remember him somehow. She's video blogging a bunch of other things. You know, they go out and meet her friends. You know, oh, so-and-so, you're now married and you have a kid on the way. Oh, so-and-so, you know, you look so good. The guy from Big Daddy who's super homophobic, you're now a transgender guy. And he's like, mahalo.
Mahalo.
A young Maya Rudolph.
Yeah. So you you make her watch this videotape and have her fall in love with you every day?
Yeah, pretty much.
And he's like, she hits her husband. You don't even hold the door open for me.
You don't
even
hold the door for you, asshole.
You're in trouble. That's when we get some terrible line reading from Drew Barrymore. We are dating, aren't we?
Like, oh, yeah.
But she starts video blogging a little bit, you know, just asking questions. You know, oh, this is for, you know, I'm trying to keep the video up to date. She asks, you know, if he loves her. And you see, that's a difficult question. It's like, of course I love you. Slips into some Christian Slater there while he says that. And he's like, I mean, honestly, how could he not? He's going through all of this every day. What a question, you know. She asks, you know, they kiss, and she says, nothing beats a first kiss, to which we get a, in quotes, first kiss montage in different beautiful locales. You know, every time after they kiss, nothing beats a first kiss. They kiss. Nothing beats a first kiss. That's what I hear. They're back at the aquarium, and he's clearly ready for sex, but obviously she still feels like she just met this guy.
Yeah.
This isn't a euphemism, but he takes her to see his walrus. you know, she's talking to the walrus. You know, she says, you know, do you think I should take it to the next level with Henry? You know, behind her, he does the up-down for the walrus. Do you think I should take him into the back room and take all his clothes off? You know, and does the up-down, and the walrus kind of looks for a second. Okay, up-down, up-down. You know, she says, you know, I saw the hand gesture, but I'm glad you did it. They go into the office to consummate the relationship, to which we see Rob Schneider snorkeling and watching, playing with his nipples and shit. get away. After they're at a campfire on the beach, Sandler hits us with a patented Adam Sandler song. Can't be a movie without a song. The old forgetful Lucy who bumped her head like Gary Busey. somewhere out there, Gary Busey's in the theater going, what? they go to bed. Terrible idea. You know, he says, don't forget me. And she's like, how could I?
Terrible idea.
Next day, she wakes up. There's a fucking guy in my bed.
Yeah.
She freaks out. He tries to say, no, we're dating, we're dating. All this thing. She hits him in the head with a lacrosse mallet, knocks him out. Aykroyd comes over. You know, he's like, she's fine now. She's calmed down. She's watching the tape. That's when we get the classic, hey, you know, I hear you're going to Alaska to study walruses. And he goes, yeah. I had a 10-year plan, but I had to, you know, I'm probably going to just give it up because I don't want to leave all Lucy's improvement. I don't want to go out the window. And he goes, you know, the only thing I know about walruses is that they're the mammal with the second largest penis. I have the first. just Adam Sandler's like, that's my joke, but okay. Oh, shit, I got to go to work. Hey, let her know that I'm going to come by and pick her up later. While at work, after giving his penguin a bath, I made you a sardine sundae.
Yeah, that was cool.
Everything. She shows up and says that she's really happy that she's in his life, but she needs to break up with him because she's holding him back. He had plans before, but now every day his day revolves around making her fall in love with him.
Which is a rational, like, thing.
Yes.
You know? To be like, we can't do this.
He's like, I do more than that. I give a penguin a bat. Yeah. Yes, exactly. They decide to have one last hurrah where they're going to go out. They have a journal. I want you to read everything I wrote about you in my journal before I burn it all up and literally erase you from my memory forever. They come over. They go through different journal entries about, you know, like he makes funny noises when I kiss his neck. First time we had sex, it didn't last long, but hey, it was great, kind of thing. As they're tearing stuff up, obviously he goes to leave. And I tell you what, if you want to juice up a scene, have a kiss in the rain, fellas.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm telling you. Like, he's walking away. The rain's pouring down on him. She says, can I have one last first kiss? And he turns around, and like, the way he turns around, it looks like he's like trying to flex. You know what I'm like? I obviously the water is like sticking to his t-shirt, so it's
maybe he's trying not to chafe.
It just looks really tight. But the way he turns, watch it again. It looks like he's like doing like a superhero turn. You know, she comes in, they're drenched in the rain. Rain always adds, juices your drama, is what I wrote down.
Nice.
They lay in one last first kiss. We see that time is passing. Adam Sandler's clearly struggling with the breakup because, you know, she has the benefit of not remembering him while he is stuck with all those memories. You know, we see him now going back and all the great times they had together, all the different things he did. Finally, he decides the best way to get past this is by going with the Alaska trip. Before setting sail, obviously we have the kids there. I don't know what Rob Schneider says to him, but he's like, he says that in the whatever language, and he's like, what does that mean? He's like, that was brilliant, man. What was that? He goes, get me a t-shirt. My size is medium husky. The kid does a flip. He's like, hey, what'd I say? No flippies on the dock. To which all the kids do like perfect swanton bombs into the... let me show you how it's done. He just goes and he belly flops right into the water. Lucy's dad and Doug show up with a package. And he goes, oh, this is from Sue. Spam and Reese's. And he's like, I love Spam and Reese's. Can I have it? Yeah. Sure. Would you just yank it?
Jacks his package.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't jack his package, Brandon.
True.
God.
True. He's going to have a dream about it, though.
You know, her dad lets him know, you know, she's doing really well. She's been living at the Institute for the past 3 weeks. She's teaching her art class. You know, she's been singing again. You know, and as a going away present, here's a little present. He's on the boat, opens it up. He's like, oh, it's a Beach Boys CD. Really nice of her dad to give me a CD to remind me of all the times we had together. What an asshole! Cut to him.
crying. On the boat.
Nice and we were older than everyone. But he has an epiphany. You know, we get the flash of like, she's singing again. She only sings when she met him. To which he goes, he's sending me a message. She remembers me. Cranked that boat around. Boat looks a lot better now.
Oh, yeah. Way better.
Clearly, a lot of time has passed because that boat is in a much better shape. He drives straight to the Institute, runs in, confronts her. Lucy, do you know who I am? No? That sucks. But then she says, come with me, and takes her to her studio to where there are thousands of paintings of Adam Sandler.
Tons.
In different forms. Black and white. Orange. An egghead with a crack in it.
Side profile shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To which she says, I don't know who you are, but I dream about you every night. And he says, what if I told you that journal you read used to have a lot of me in it? She says,
sounds like the Joker.
I'm just like... He's doing like a Christian Slater half this movie. And Christian Slater is just doing Jack Nicholson. So there you go.
There you go.
He says, you know, Lucy, you're the girl of my dreams. And obviously, I'm the man of yours. They go in for a first kiss. Flashbang. She wakes up. She sees a videotape. Says, play me. She puts it in. Same old, we're updating her, but it finally ends with her and Sandler getting married, to which Rob Schneider's officiating. we see his wife. You know, finally it ends with him saying, come up for breakfast, but put a coat on, it's cold outside. To which she looks out the window and they're on a boat in the middle of Alaska. She's been shanghaied. Is what's going through her brain. She goes upstairs, sees Adam Sandler, and there's a little girl, and they say, would you like to meet your daughter? We got Grandpa here, too. You know, Farmer Fran's waving over at him. And to which they share another first kiss.
Duh.
While Somewhere Over the Rainbow by IZ is playing.
Great soundtrack, too.
Finito. Yeah. Ooh.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Yes.
I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed talking about it. I really think you put somebody else in there in that Barrymore role. Who is
Jennifer Aniston?
No. Brandon?
Well, I'm just saying, he only chooses people that he's worked with before. So, like, you gotta think of that. What about, what's her name?
From Grown Ups?
Fucking French Toast.
Fucking French Toast. Who is that? What's some fucking French Toast?
He never worked with... What movie? You're just saying French Toast. Winona Ryder was in Mr. Deeds.
Leslie Mann. Okay, yeah, okay. I was like, that peaks at Leslie Mann. Yeah.
But from that's Big in, Dad? Like, isn't that, like, in, like, Knocked Up or something?
I think that might be from a different movie.
Yeah.
I don't know, guys.
I'm just going to type it in my Google search to see what comes up.
She's just hammered. I say that all the time. Some fucking French Toast.
Knocked Up or...
Oh, that's from 40-Year-Old Virgin.
40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah, when they're in the car, and she's like, I want some fucking French toast. You know, when she has Steve Carell blowing the thing before her car works.
Yeah. I love that.
You really sent me in a whirlwind there. Sorry.
Sorry.
No need to be sorry.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know who would play. I got to think about that.
And you know what? I am very... I'm okay living in the world where, like I said, I don't hate this movie. It's not my bag, baby.
I'm surprised that I like this movie as much as I do, because I really like... I'm not a huge fan of Drew Barrymore even now. Like,
same.
Like, I'm not gonna lie, I just Michael, don't get it.
As we close the book on your picks in the category you chose, the fact that Mr. Deeds, you didn't choose Mr. Deeds, which is a movie I hear you quote more than anything.
Dude, it was a tough one, I'll tell you that. But I do stand by this decision. I really, really love Mr. Deeds, and I thought that would have been fun, but I don't know. So,
well, but I had a great time. Did you all have a great time?
I had a great time. I loved talking.
Brandon's
about.
Like, fuck no.
He's like, hell no, let's end this. Come
hey,
on.
I enjoyed this movie.
I thought it was great. I like talking about it too.
Yeah.
We want to talk about what we're doing next week.
I haven't seen it enough to be able to quote it. Like,
oh, I was just the whole time. So, you know.
Yeah.
There's so many good Rob Schneider quotes that I'd use in my everyday life in this one.
Oh, yeah. I got to watch it again to remember all of them.
Well, there's going to be a little bit more quotable Rob Schneider lines in the next movie. Yeah. They have very few lines in this movie, but all quotable lines in this
They're
movie.
They're all quotable.
A movie that we're jumping 1 year. This is a movie that I chose, and it was like one that I was like, I haven't seen this in 10 years, and for whatever reason, I have an itch to watch this. And then Michael said, we're doing Adam Sandler, and I said,
huzzah.
What a great time.
Huzzah!
I wonder if this will even hold up. I don't know, but I've been itching to watch it. Let's go. And let me tell you, I watched it a week ago, ramping up because I knew we were getting closer. What a moment this movie is.
Yeah.
What a time in play. I don't know when the last time you've seen it. Obviously, we're going to watch it again very soon. But what a 2005 film we are watching. We are watching The Longest Yard. I'm pumped.
I can't wait.
It's been a second, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I have not seen this movie probably since, like, it came out on DVD.
Damn.
For sure.
This would have been the year you graduated high school, Brandon.
Yeah.
I can tell you, but we can talk about this next week, but I have a sense memory about this movie.
You know exactly where you were and what you ate. Yeah. What Michael's shirt said.
When I was 12?
I didn't know Michael back then.
When I lived in Boise and Robert was like 20, 30 miles away?
The sense memory I have is not being able to watch it, but having to wait for my parents to get out of the theater so we can leave.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that next week. Looking forward to The Longest Yard. Take a drink every time a WWE wrestler shows up and they're in the Hall of Fame. We'll be back next time. What do you say we go ahead and cut, print, check the gate?
See you guys.
Goodbye.